This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. My name is Mike Bones, and as always, I'm joined by my pillow hosts, Rob and Kat. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
What's going on there, Mikey?
Not shit, guys. We're back. We had a week off last week. Shit was nice.
We did.
Yeah. Did you miss me, though? No. Son of a bitch.
I did send you a Tony Danza picture, though.
You sure? Oh, I should have put that up on Patreon.
Anyone miss out on that?
I might do that tonight. I'll put that the screenshot of you sending it to me for no damn reason. Now, why'd you do that?
I didn't want you to miss out on it, you know?
I would have been fine without that. Yeah, it been good.
All right. Well, now we don't need to know.
We are here with Rob's birthday pick. It's a week late. It was your birthday last week. Happy late birthday, Rob.
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
Do you feel better now that you're a year wiser?
No, I feel old.
Do you feel older?
Yeah, just old.
That sucks.
Yeah. Now there were some choices for the birthday pick that I went through last time, but just to quickly recap, we had the Fuck Mikey pick, which was the possibility was going to be It Follows.
Yeah.
And then we had the nuclear option, which was going to be basically a Fuck All of Us pick, which was Twilight, just because I thought it'd be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's fun just to watch the world burn. Then I had the Yay, We Might All Like It pick, which is the one I went with, which is Tusk, which we'll be talking about tonight.
It says, Yay, We All Like It. Okay.
Yay, We May All Like It.
We may all like it.
Okay.
I knew Kat liked it. I knew I liked it. You're the wild card on this one. You'll be the one to fuck it up for everybody.
So this is the I may like it pick, not the we may like it pick, the I may like it pick.
No, and we may.
Well, to be fair, it was also a wild card for Rob because it was a rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
So there was always the chance Rob came in with a movie he just also hated.
That'd have been hysterical. That'd have been like the second bamboozle, like when Chris tried to fuck you with the cartoon pick and he ended up really fucking me the most.
Well, after what you did this week, you better sleep with one eye open, my friend.
We'll talk about that later. Maybe. Now that you reminded Chris, I guess we might as well talk about it later. We got drink roll call, we got horror news, and obviously Rob's birthday pick. We'll get to shortly, Tusk. But a quick update on my audio situation here. I believe I have finally ironed out all of the wrinkles, and you guys will be happy to know that my button situation should be full go.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the listeners were on the edge of their seat for that.
It's important.
It's very important. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I haven't tested. I probably should ask you guys this before we started recording. I have the whip. Let's test the whip. Can you guys hear the whip?
Yep,
I heard it.
All right. I also want everybody to know that I now have a melody of huge clown penises. I have a collection, and it goes a little something like this.
Huge clown penis.
Huge clown penis.
Huge clown penis.
Huge clown penis.
All right.
I got four huge clown penises laying around.
That's great.
You got to clip that where you just said you got four huge clown penises.
Oh, can I get my own? Oh, shit. Well, I'm going to leave the I got out if I do it. You know what pissed me off, though? When I was putting my buttons and stuff together, and I now have a whole folder on this deck for huge clown penises. That's where my life's at.
Yeah.
I went back to listen. I cannot find. I was looking for IR Chris. I thought for sure. I'm like, okay, he's had to have said it. I got it. He didn't say huge clown penis once.
He's crafty like that.
That's impressive.
Right? And I couldn't get it right. Went back and listened to a couple episodes. Allie said huge clown penis when she was talking about that drink he concocted for her, and he never said it. And I thought it was in like a Twilight Zone.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's also good. Also, I thought you guys should hear that. One of my favorite things in the world. You're welcome. Anyway, going forward, drink roll call. What are you guys drinking?
I'm going simple tonight. I've got bourbon and diet.
Okay. Ooh, that's a nice mix, though.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. I'm drinking Mike's Hard Cranberry.
Damn it.
What? Damn it, what?
Nothing. Mike's Hard, that's a perfectly normal thing for a grown man to drink. That's why.
What's wrong with Mike's Hard? It's literally called Mike.
It's called Mike's Hard, for one.
Well, Mike's Hard Lemonade is the brand, yeah. But
secondly, it's what high school girls drink, but okay.
It is not. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I have to confirm I did drink a lot of that in high school.
I did too, because it was popular. It's not like a fucking Four Loko or nothing. Well, I didn't drink it in high school, though. It wasn't out when I was in high school, I don't think.
Right.
You're a hater, Rob. Kat, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking more Buzz Balls.
I meant to go. I did not get more Buzz Balls. Which one are you drinking, Kat?
I'm sticking with the apple.
Okay.
The forbidden apple.
I still can't find the Cran Blaster. It's pissing me off. That's why I went with this. I got the cranberry regardless. So, and that's another thing. Rob hates on cranberry in general. You're the worst, Rob.
Cranberry juice is disgusting, man. I don't know how you can drink that shit.
Well, you don't drink it straight.
Oh, I'll drink it straight, too. I will just drink cranberry juice all day.
Okay, well, I don't drink it straight.
I love cranberry juice. And then you mix it with liquor, it's even better. I don't know. You guys are crazy. Horror news. We don't really have all that much. You guys want to get into it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's on strike, so.
It's time to hump.
He's not a genius. Okay. First thing to bring up is season 3 of Chucky is going to premiere on October 4th. Speaking of the strike, they did mention the strike in here. They didn't even know if we were going to be getting that this year at all because of the strike, but it's squeezing in on October 4th, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this show before, my struggles with the show. It's frustrating because I like the franchise a lot, but this show just isn't connecting with me for whatever reason. I was actually trying to rewatch season 1 before we started recording tonight, and I don't know what it is about the show. It just doesn't hit for me for some reason.
I have a tough time with the show because it feels like a weird age demographic because they're like 14. You know, but they're trying to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was weird.
It doesn't work for me. I don't know why. It should. There's nothing, like, when I think about it, then, like, you know, I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. But for some reason, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by season 1. I did enjoy season 1 a lot. Season 2, they lost me. So, you know, maybe with season 4, it's weird too. They got like Chucky standing at a presidential podium or something.
I know. I saw that. I was like, is Chucky running for president?
I'd vote for him at this point. Also, I seen here, apparently you can text Chucky.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a number you can text. It's 201-500-3347. Let me try that now, actually.
I found a number you can text for a squid fact.
Stupid ass. Oh, I said hi to it. Oh, wow. Hey, dipshits. Yeah, it's really Chucky, your friend to the end. Want to play? Of course you do. A new season of my killer TV show, Chucky, is coming back, and you better watch. So click that link and sign up to get texts from me. You're welcome. Wow, what a fucking text.
Yeah, that ain't the real Chucky.
How do you know?
I don't know.
It said he's the real Chucky. I don't think they can just lie about that.
I don't think so. It's all lowercase. And
imagine
it's,
that. Imagine if somebody handed Brad Dorf a phone and was just like, you have to return all of these texts.
Well, he just texted me at 1:30 in the morning, so I...
He fucking hates you.
Yeah,
we go to get an interview from Brad Dorf, and he's like, no, I recognize this number. To be working at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Like, I don't sleep. Okay, see, this is dope as shit. The next thing is Jurassic Park is returning to theaters in real D 3D for the film's 30th anniversary.
That's pretty cool.
I have been, in the past, really skeptical of this sort of thing when they bring an older movie back and put it in 3D in theaters for no reason, until they did it with Jaws, and I went
Jaws
and saw
was
it.
Jaws was so good.
Fantastic. So this, I'm on board with this. This sounds, I mean, I bet it looks great.
My thing, I think they were a little ahead of themselves with the technology. Like, I feel like now we're at a time where it can be done properly, maybe. Hopefully. I don't know. But Jurassic Park 2 looks great, just period. So, I mean, it hopefully won't be too difficult and it'll look great. Apparently, it's, where'd it go? August 25th. But my problem is, when I search it, it's only showing me theaters in the fucking city.
Well, driving in the city.
No, I'm not going to Manhattan to see a movie. No.
I hate Manhattan. Why?
I do hate Manhattan. Yes, that's true. I'm not going to deny it at all. Because it's a pain in the ass. What the hell I want to go to Manhattan for?
He's afraid of Jason.
Yeah, he might be in there. Might get me.
That's Vancouver. Don't worry about it.
You son of a bitch. Why? 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 I can't have nothing. Why? Nah, that pisses me off. Like, I definitely would have been out there for this, but I... Fucking really just the city? That's so annoying.
I'm guessing there won't be a theater near me that's showing it.
I'll send you the link, you can see.
Yeah. Since having moved, I've noticed this area doesn't get a whole lot of that special kind of shit.
If you get one of these near you and I don't, I'm gonna be so mad.
It's really frustrating because I used to get them all. It's like all that stuff we used to come to where I lived in Indiana. Now they're like nowhere around me.
I would sooner go to Jersey to do this before the city. Honestly, it'd be easier, but yeah, and I won't be going to see this, unfortunately. Unless maybe they'll add more theaters. I don't know. I'll keep checking and see. Yeah, not going to fucking Manhattan for this.
Why is it not? No, I was gonna try and look, but I can't figure out how to search it by location.
Just scroll down. I can't figure it out either. It's really annoying me. But I just scrolled down. It showed the nearest theaters.
No, it's saying nothing. So I'm guessing there's nothing.
Son of a bitch. Well, that's that. RoboCop, there's a RoboDoc coming out. I got an email that we can get an early screener for this. I don't know if you guys are very interested, but it's going to premiere on Screenbox August 29th.
That's fun.
I finally get to use my Screenbox thing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Screenbox, they put out the Chucky doc. We actually covered that one. There was the Robert Englund one that it came out. Look, I love documentaries, and Screenbox is getting into them heavy, but honestly, they need, if they're going to keep doing this, which I am not mad at, they need to be a little more in-depth with, like, I don't know, I don't even know if I call these documentaries. Oh, this is a four-parter, though. Wow. This is the one that gets four parts, you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I don't see a Jurassic Park screening near me, but there is a 35th anniversary screening of They Live coming to me.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, and the 40th anniversary of Christine.
Oh.
Okay.
And so, do you guys give a shit about this? Should I request a screener for the RoboDoc?
You won't send it to me even if you do, so it doesn't matter.
I send it to you all the time. Yeah, and I'm more pissed off now seeing this is a four-part. Like, Robert Englund easily... Well... He might, if they dove into the nightmares a little more in depth, that easily could have been a four part. Chucky easily could have been a four part. Like this, like RoboCop, really. The rest, honestly, is mostly gaming news. Again, there's really not too much going on. Alan Wake 2 is getting pushed back slightly. It was supposed to release on October 17th. It's now releasing October 27th. I don't know if you guys care about this game.
No, I didn't play Alan Wake at all.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you? Yeah, I never played the first one. I've seen gameplay, obviously. I mean, It's a great game. I'm glad it's getting another one.
It's solid. And you know what? I'm not mad that it's being pushed back either. There seems to be, like, in all other media, I feel like we can push things back. And it's just not a big deal. I feel like games, for whatever reason, they're like, this is set in stone. It's the date we're releasing. And then they have to patch it a bunch of extra times because they release it on the expected release day and then it doesn't fucking work. So, like, I think it's almost, if anything, I think it's kind of a good sign that they're like, hey, new date.
I agree. I think gamers get pissed with that shit, man. Like, I'll see the comments and stuff and they really throw a fucking fit. It's like, but why are you mad? Like Kat said, like, yeah. I expect, like, that WWE game, I don't know if you played it, Rob, it was the perfect fuck. They never even fixed it. They were just like, this thing's so hot shit, we're not, it's just, this is what you
that get. One that came out that was all fucked up?
Yeah, man, and, and it was on sale for, like, $20 once, and I bought it, and I'm like, oh, they had to have fixed it by now. Nope. Wasted $20. That thing was unplayable.
No, I never played it, but I saw some gameplay of it online. It was hilarious. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was awful. So yeah, if a company says, hey, we want to take our time with this, not mad at all. Do it right the first time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, and by the way, quick update, there is a theater near me showing Jurassic Park.
You motherfucker. Really? When does that come out? The
25th.
25th.
Mikey. Right, Rob just moved to Manhattan to piss off Mikey, I think is what happened.
He's closer to me. That's not fucking good.
No, there's a theater in North Charleston that's showing it. It's not the one I normally go to, but it is available should I choose to do it, although I don't know if I will or not. Depends on what my schedule looks like on the 25th.
How far is that from you?
13 miles.
Oh, that's not bad. You son of a bitch. All right, next up is Phasmophobia. Has released for fuck's
sake, you're always talking about this fucking game.
Honestly, okay, before I even get into it, Ascension is the name of the update. It's their biggest update they've ever had on the game. It changed, like, it was a reset. They changed a lot of shit. I honestly haven't played Phasmophobia in a long fucking time. And I seen the update and I got on it the other night just to see what it was all about. And I don't know how to play the game anymore. Like, certain shit, like, doesn't mean anything. I played alone because I'm like, let me just get it, like, see what they did. So what they did was, before, you could just buy the shit you need to go in, and you go in and hunt with it. Now you have to, like, there's different tiers of shit. So, like, you know, obviously the first tier is shit, middle tier is mid, top tier is good. I didn't have, like, they reset everything, so I didn't have, you have to earn the better shit. I went in there with nothing at all, like the bare minimum. And the ghost writing book is literally a notebook and a spiral notebook and a pencil. I was like, what the fuck? Like, if I was a ghost, I wouldn't write in that. Like, it was just embarrassing. And, like, it was absolutely awful. I seen freezing breath. Turns out, like, that doesn't mean freezing temperatures anymore. I was so fucking lost. So... they changed the shit out of this game. I'm going to say now I don't like it, but I just tried it. So maybe I can, I don't know. And all I know is I have a fucking voodoo doll and a mimic next to me now. And I don't even play the fucking game anymore. But it's good that it's progressing, though. Like, that game's very popular. It's going to consoles too soon. So play Phasmophobia, Rob.
No.
You can make a skinamarink pile.
No.
All right. Last but not least is obviously the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's the last portion of the gaming. It came out. I'm in love with that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. Came out yesterday as we're recording this, last week as you're listening to it. It's so much fun. It's great. And another portion of news is AEW had a Texas Chainsaw death match to promote the game.
Holy shit, was that dumb.
Well, it was ridiculous. I'll admit.
It was dumb. Now, Gunn, you know, I don't know what kind of money Gunn spent, but they promoted the hell out of that game throughout the night. They had it up on the video board pretty much all night. It was on the ring, like on the ring apron. It was in the corners of the ring. It was on the fucking guardrails.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it, but that match, holy shit, that was fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett. Longtime wrestling fans will know those names. Probably all wrestling fans, but look, I'm not like I don't watch wrestling anymore. I haven't for quite some time, but I try and keep up with it the best I can. I don't think I've ever said this. They should have got two younger guys to do this match.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I get it. It was to promote the game and everything, but when Leatherface ran out, dude, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It was ridiculous, but, like, that for, and that's another thing, too. That crowd was dead when that happened. Like, you're watching, like, obviously wrestling is very scripted and choreographed might be the best word. A lot of respect for what those dudes do, though. I couldn't do it. But, like, dude, Leatherface just came out wielding a fucking chainsaw and it was dead. Like, that's cool. You know, like, you're watching all this shit that's very scripted. Leatherface coming out is a huge jump. Like, maybe it's because I'm a horror fan. I would have lost my mind. Like, that would have been cool as shit to see. It could have been done better, sure. But I don't know. It was cool to see it happen. I just wish it was done better.
It was, yeah, it was something.
Plus, they cut to a commercial break as it started. I was like, what the fuck, man? I'm here for just this.
Well, they do that all the time.
God damn it. The Leatherface came out holding a chainsaw, ran up to some dude and kicked him. I'm like, what the fuck?
I was hoping for, because they had advertised this as a Texas Chainsaw Death Match, I was hoping for like a good old chainsaw fight like Dennis Hopper in the second movie.
That'd have been cool. But it's just, when you introduce any weapon into wrestling, it's supposed to get used. You obviously cannot use a chainsaw on anybody. So, like, it's an impossible situation. Yeah, they probably shouldn't have had Leatherface come out, though.
Yeah, it was just dumb. It was, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've seen stuff like WWE did a promotional thing when that fucking zombie movie with Batista came out.
Yes.
It was just as stupid where they had like zombies surround the ring and like eat one of the wrestlers or some stupid shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I get it and I understand it. I mean, it's a smart move for Gunn to
absolutely
advertise the game there because there's a huge crossover between wrestling fans and horror fans. But when they do it and it comes across as silly, then, you know, it just, I don't know.
Like I said, I wish it was done better. Two younger guys in there, you might have been able to have like a real, like, this match was just a couple spots. Like, it was a bunch of people helping these two old dudes. Like, yeah. It was a bit of a mess.
And it started kind of in the back.
Yeah.
And everything, almost like a cinematic kind of match at first. It was weird.
It should have been a cinematic. That's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy looked cool as shit, though.
Well, his face paint and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he came out in the Leatherface mask. Well, it wasn't Leatherface. It was like a face mask. Like he was wearing someone's face. He had the Leatherface face paint on. That looked cool as shit. I love Jeff Hardy. You need to be nicer to Jeff Hardy.
I don't have a problem with Jeff Hardy. I just think he should retire.
Yeah, he might should.
He can't do some of the shit he used to be able to do.
He did the shit he was doing for a long fucking time. I give him that. He still tries to do it.
It just doesn't look as good anymore.
No, it doesn't. Because it looked so seamless. Now, like, he takes a while to get up to the ropes and, you know, he doesn't jump quite as high.
Yeah. And Jeff Jarrett's just been around for 100 years.
Jeff Jarrett needs to go away. I'd never like Jeff Jarrett. But either way, that was fucking awesome. Texas Chainsaw, they tweeted that they had over 1 million players in the last 24 hours. Like, that's incredible. I'm so glad this game is doing well. And, like, yeah, it's got issues, but it's brand new. Like, I think people forget that.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played it, but I've watched a lot of gameplay online. It looks like it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
The only thing it's missing is Nicolas Cage.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, so if anybody hasn't tried it yet, it's free on Game Pass, too. So I know a couple people who are a little skeptical on how on the game and they don't want to throw the money into it. I think it's out for $35 now. It is also on Game Pass for free, so you can go try it out, and you know, you'll have fun. You'll definitely have fun. Last piece of news, though, is Kat has a book that is officially out. Revenge Arc has dropped. You have a book out. Revenge Arc is out now. Kat, how has all of that been going?
It has been going pretty well, all things considered. We had the one hiccup with Ingram, which I don't think we were recording during that whole thing. But
Right.
we got a notice from my printer like the day before we were supposed to have the books early because I signed all the book plates, so they were going to put all the book plates on, send them out. We were supposed to have them like the week before and the night before at like 11:50 before release, our printer sends us an email and they're like, we're running behind on this. And it's like, yeah, we figured that out. They didn't show up a week ago. But they are now printed. They are out in the world. It's been going a lot smoother. We have run out of the first order. We're printing more that are on time and everything. So.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I got mine late, though. I might have. Yeah. There might be pending lawsuits going. There was some tomfoolery going on with my order, I believe. Everyone was tweeting about theirs. I'm like, what the fuck? Rob's
taunting
me.
It was really funny because we got them across 2 days from Ingram. We had and it was everyone got theirs the first day. The people that didn't, I thought everyone got theirs the second day. Mikey still didn't have his.
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell's going on here, man? I feel like this was purposely done.
A secret third wave. I was going to get in contact with my editor and see if we couldn't hold off on you getting one until you raised your cube score, but
I would have bought it digitally. I just bought another one. I would have called that one a loss and got another one then. That would have been very bad for me. But yeah, that's a congratulations, Kat.
Thank you.
I started reading. I've had a hectic fucking week, so I haven't really got, and I got it late, so I haven't got really to sit with it yet. But a little bit I've seen, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I was happy to get mine before you get yours.
Son of a bitch. I think it was Chris who pointed out that everyone got theirs, much like the Bennies. I got mine late. What the fuck? Maybe it's my post office, man. Maybe these son of a bitches don't feel like doing nothing.
You go into your local post office and they're all wearing We Love Cube t-shirts.
Yeah, and they're looking at me sideways. I just turn around and walk out and be like, ah, okay, I see. What's going on here? That's all I got for news. Do I have to hit my button?
Yes.
Fuck.
It's button
time. Ready, idiot! Get the fuck out of here! Go ahead! Go back to turning tricks in Hoboken, you bait in the ass!
Tricks in Hoboken. This is the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner, where our listeners send in anonymous Italian memes, making fun of me for being Italian. No ties to horror whatsoever. This is just what these people do. Did you send it already, Kat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit. Did.
All right. The memes go up on Patreon. We describe them on the show. Let's see. Oh. Wait. See, I'm getting into a weird spot where I don't remember if it's been on the show or if I've just seen stuff like that. Actually, yeah, it has been on the show. Kind of.
No. Yeah, I was going to say kind of, but you complained about it, so I found a different one.
Son of a... You found... What are you
doing? I found this one.
Son of a bitch. Was this the favorite one? You were talking about having a really one you liked a lot. Was this it?
No. I just wanted to make sure you got this one in before you came across it, because I liked it on Twitter, and then it was like, oh no. Because I don't know. Because, you know, you like other people's likes pop up erratically, and I didn't want to spoil Gabagoolie Mystery Corner.
Yeah, I don't look at my Twitter feed. We've been over this. I see penises a lot when I look at my Twitter feed. I stay away from my Twitter feed. It was not my notifications. I don't see it usually. But yeah, I did not see this. It's a two-sided meme. Left side's a little alien head, and it says alien above it. And the right side is also an alien head, but it's got two capiche hands that are also green like the alien, and it's Italian. don't like this at all. We've had this before with the alien movie poster.
Yeah, we had the alien movie poster.
Not a fucking fan of that. Still
funny. And you complained about that one so much that I just had to give you a second one, I guess.
It's not funny. Like, it's not funny at all. Yeah, I don't like that. Whoever sent that in, I hope a flock of seagulls shit on your car. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, all that.
It'll mess up your paint job.
Yeah, yeah. Not like turn on the windshield wipers shit. I'm like a flock. Like car wash. You know, bring out the hose is what I'm saying.
All right.
All right, so we get to move forward now.
We do. Yeah. During his first year of college, did you know that Tony Danza got a Robert Crumb Keep On Truckin' tattoo on his upper right arm?
Wow.
No, Rob, didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, now you do.
Oh, yeah. I'm a better person for it. Why are you still doing this? I thought you were out of these.
I'm not out. I mean, it's getting close, but I'm not out yet.
Did you find another list, or are you just hunting these down yourself at this point?
No, I'm actually digging for these now.
You know you could stop, right?
I had to look through an Us Weekly article for that.
You read Us Weekly for that?
Yep.
And you're proud of yourself.
Dedication.
Yeah. And I feel like it really helped you because you could be like the patron saint of Italian Americans and get the same tattoo on your upper right arm.
Mikey.
No, I won't be. No, absolutely not. No. In fact, I got this now. No more. All right.
No more this week.
No, not no more this week. No more. Period.
Okay. Gotcha. No more this week.
He said not no more this week. I think he's asking for a second fun fact.
No, I'm not asking for. He don't have enough to be just throwing them around willy nilly anymore, which is your own fault too, Rob. You've thrown some of these out there just to throw them out there.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really pick and choose my spots, but I've had fun along the way.
Yeah. You did it on Ali Stream. You did it last week. We didn't even record last week. You just sent me one around.
The last week was just a picture.
Oh, yeah, it was. Still. I mean, enough with the damn. Like, what the fuck, man? I don't understand. Also, too, by the way, I was drinking at some point last weekend. And for funsies, I went and looked to see. Tony Danza does have his publicist listed.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. But, I mean, he's never done anything hard.
Yeah.
So, like, it would literally...
Yeah, I know, I looked, because my birthday pic was...
You motherfucker. Why do you do these things? You know, would it be hard for you to be nice to me? Like, would it really hurt you that badly?
I picked a movie we'd all like for this week for my birthday, because I couldn't find a Tony Danza one, and Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park 2 was only a comic book.
Thank God. Fuck.
You would be really suspicious if he was nice to you, though.
Yeah, look at Leah. She got all crazy.
Well, Leah has a right to be crazy. Because you're always mean to Leah.
Well, I mean, it's the spirit of the show. That's why we have those meetings every week.
We don't
Except
have
for
any.
We like Leah.
Yeah, we don't have any negative Leah meetings. We don't have any Leah meetings at all, actually. We should start to be nice to Leah and me, like where we all just meet up for a half hour every week and say nice things about Leah.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. Rob?
Talk about running out of things to say.
Wow. Zynga. What the hell's wrong with you? All right. That's it for the fucking gobbledygook crap. The Danza ones pissed me off more. Like the last few gobbledygook things we had, I'm trying to think. I feel like one of them was funny. That one video thing. One of them was funny.
Italian chicken dance?
Yeah. I can't even lie. Whoever said, like, I kind of wish I knew who sent that in. Like, honestly, that was really good. But yeah, I don't remember. I feel like they haven't been that painful. This one was just, I didn't like this one at all. But either way, that's it for that. We will take a quick break and we will be right back with Tusk. I forgot the name of the movie for a second. Rob, this is your birthday pick. You kind of explained a little bit about it earlier.
Yep.
Does anybody want to start with opening thoughts?
I mean, I can. This movie, I guess, it's a Kevin Smith movie. I like Kevin Smith a lot. I have always thought of Kevin Smith as a great writer and an adequate director. You know, like when you see a Kevin Smith movie, you're not going to see amazing direction or any sort of you're not seeing a Christopher Nolan movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I've never seen him shoot like an entire sequence with the lens cap on or anything, you know, like it's going to be a movie and it's going to look like a movie and it's going to be well made. It's not going to blow you away. But his writing, I think, has always been where his strength lies. Like he's, you know, Clerks and Chasing Amy and Dogma, really clever, brilliant, funny scripts. And this was actually his second run at a horror movie. And I don't know. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about.
Okay. Kat, you have praised this movie in the past.
Yeah, I'll go next. I really like Tusk. I am not a huge Kevin Smith fan overall. Like, I don't have a problem with Kevin Smith. But I was surprised at how much I liked Tusk. I'm surprised at how many different emotions Tusk hits, because I was not expecting it. You hear what Tusk is about, and you think that is going to be the stupidest movie I'll ever watch. And it has a surprising amount of layers. Like, the highs are very high, the lows are very upsetting. It works as a horror movie, and I talk about this movie a lot. This was only my third time ever watching it, I realized today, because I was trying to find a DVD with Mr. Cat's boyfriend yesterday. We were out looking for a physical copy of Tusk, and he's like, why are you even watching it again? Like, you have to know this movie front to back. And it's like, do I? But apparently I talk about this a lot more than I realize. So, and I actually went on Creepy and Geeky to talk about it also. Earlier this year. I think it works as a movie. It's not perfect, and you know, we'll get into my criticisms of it as well, but I'm always kind of astonished. This is also the movie I know Justin Long from, so
huh. All right. I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is one of my favorite movies ever. And I know it's not like, you know, a great movie. It's just absolutely hilarious. Mallrats, Clerks, like that whole universe. I have a Moby lighter in my hand right now. I love Kevin Smith. I heard he did a horror movie, and I was like, holy shit, dope. And then I seen what it was about. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what the fuck this is going to be. And, you know, like I've heard, like you just think Kevin Smith, you think like, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, Mallrats, that kind of shit. And it looked like it had a lot of serious tones, despite what it was about. So I just never got around to it. Like, I don't want to not like something Kevin Smith did. That kind of stuff's not up my alley. So I just never got around. The timing was never right to watch that fucking movie. Rob made me do it. So I don't hate this movie.
Okay.
I don't like this movie. And believe it or not, the reason I don't like it isn't so much the walrusness of it. Never thought I'd say that in my fucking life. The thing with this movie was the biggest thing. My biggest problem with this movie is A, it was too long. And B, the reason it was too long was because...
Tell me he's the reason why you hate this movie.
No, he's not the reason why.
I can give you.
I was gonna say, because counterpoint, Johnny Depp is pure fucking gold in this movie.
No, he's not the reason I hate this movie. That's the reason though. It was too long. The reason I hate it. I don't hate it. The reason I don't like it is not because it was too long, but ultimately that's the reason, because there were just some scenes that dragged on way longer than they fucking needed to, and I was like, okay, and it just took me out of it entirely. And that's really my biggest problem with this movie.
But it's not even that long. It only runs an hour 40.
So,
and yet and still.
I will say, I've kind of moved a little bit on that. When I talked about this on Creepy and Geeky, I kind of roasted Johnny Depp for his performance in Tusk. I've realized, watching closer today, Johnny Depp actually is not my problem with Tusk. It's the editing of Johnny Depp's scenes that's my problem with Tusk. Because, like, initially, after my first watch, I did not remember Johnny Depp was a part of this movie. Like, I remembered the stuff with the walrus, because that's what you remember. And then, like, on my second watch, I was like, oh, yeah, there's this whole thing with Johnny Depp, and it's really long and annoying. And I got kind of mad at him for it, where I was like, why is this happening? And this time around, I found myself kind of chuckling at some of his lines. Like, the delivery was absurd, but it worked in context. But I think because they have, like, three consecutive Johnny Depp scenes, like, back to back, and all of them run on just a little bit too long, and it makes it feel really overpowering. That could have been trimmed down. And then I think it would have been a perfect movie, honestly. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. My biggest problem with this movie, and really the only problem that I have with the movie, is that the tone is all over the place. It's not, I don't know, the tone just is not consistent throughout the movie. It's either laugh out loud funny, a comedy, or this dark, disturbing horror movie, and it never finds sort of a middle place for it.
Oh, see, that's what I love about this movie. Yeah. Like, I agree with you. The tone's all over the place. And I think it's why I don't rewatch it more. Because, like, when I'm looking for something funny, it's like, I'm not going to put on Tusk. That's going to make me sad. But then when I'm looking for something more serious, it's like, well, obviously, I'm not going to watch Tusk. You know, it makes it kind of a weird film to revisit. But while I'm watching it, I'm kind of impressed by how well they got both sides of that spectrum in there. Like,
that's got to be a chick thing too, isn't it? I never want to watch anything sad.
I know. Yeah, I know.
That's got to be. Only women, man. They do get in that mood where they want to. I never want to watch it. Ever, ever.
You mean you don't sit around and be like, I really want to watch Steel Magnolias?
I've never wanted to see Steel Magnolias, but I do get in a mood where I'll want to watch something like more disturbing, you know?
That I get.
I can't watch All Dogs Go to Heaven ever, because it'll make me sad. I cry during that movie, so you guys know. Fun fact about me. Do you judge me on that, Rob?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's a cartoon, so it's a little weird, but.
But it's sad. Ow. We're not getting into it. I'll cry. Yeah. I'm not mad at all at it's Kevin Smith, dude. Like, it's going to be funny.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's so far.
It
swings so far. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't even call it a horror comedy, though.
Is no. The thing.
It's like there are scenes that are really funny, followed by scenes that are really fucking disturbing.
It's such a unique thing, because horror comedies usually do both at the same time. And this one really does swing back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my biggest problem with the movie. That and Justin Long's mustache. Who, I mean, he's given David Schwimmer an apt pupil energy with that mustache.
Except for, I think he's supposed to have that energy.
I didn't even know that was Johnny Depp until I was looking into the movie after watching it.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. No clue. Yeah, I mean, and one of the scenes that stick out to me that were too long was one of the Johnny Depp scenes, like when they were in the car and when he was first.
When they're in the car and they're in the fast food restaurant, and then he has that flashback.
Yeah. Also.
And those are consecutive scenes. And I think that's why I felt like Johnny Depp was my problem with this movie for such a long time. But I don't think it was his fault. Like, I think that was an editing choice that was bad.
Yes. Yeah. And even the scene where Justin Long meets the old dude for the first time, like, when they were talking, first of all, he's a podcaster interviewing this guy, didn't record a fucking word. That's first and foremost.
That makes sense, though, because that's the gimmick of the podcast.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't record the stuff. He explains the experiences to his friend when he gets home. That's why it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes back and tells Haley Joel Osment about it.
That's
who I didn't recognize the first two times I watched this.
Okay, then that makes a little more sense. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah.
But either way, like, and I wasn't mad at the scene is in its entirety, because obviously it needed to happen. And
it's a cool scene.
Right. Absolutely. But it went on way too long.
I could have done the one thing about that first scene when he first meets him. They do flashbacks to Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
I didn't need that. He could have just told the Hemingway story. I didn't need to see that guy who didn't really look like Hemingway at all.
Yeah.
That's one, because I like that they use flashbacks at a lot of different points, you know, and I can understand the like cinematography consistency of wanting to do it all in flashbacks. But like, I think it's much more interesting to have like an unhinged villain who's just like, oh yeah, I was friends with Hemingway, and we don't know if that's true or not in the canon of this universe. Like,
yeah, the the other thing that I noticed too, boy, it really captures the essence of being a podcaster, doesn't it? $100,000 a month in ads and stuff.
That pissed me off, because I was like, that alone, yeah, that I just chalked it up. I was like, yeah, okay.
Well, I assume that's what Kevin Smith made on his podcast.
Yeah, that probably that's like some
that's rich people problems.
Podcasting money.
Yeah, but he says he's making $100,000. He's driving a Toyota Corolla. The fuck? Like, I know it was a rental, sure, but that's even worse. If I'm going somewhere and I'm renting a car, it's gonna be crazy, because I don't got to pay for it for like a week. Yeah, that pissed me. I'm like, dude, fucking Toyota Corolla for real.
That might be the nicest rental they have in Canada. We don't know.
That is true. Yeah.
Let's talk about Canada. Rob, you're son of a bitch. How much did this have to do with your...
So I'll be 100% honest. I kind of forgot that it took place in Canada.
Really?
That didn't even factor into it.
The sequel is called Yoga Hosers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's we'll get into this in trivia, but it's part of what Kevin Smith is calling his True North trilogy.
Well, oh dear Lord.
But I completely just kind of forgot that it even happened in Canada, because it's not like Canada really factors in a large way. Like, he's a walrus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the main point of the movie.
Yeah. I was watching this movie with Allie and a couple of friends of ours, and she said to me, in the airport scene, you know, this is why Rob picked this movie. I might be a motherfucker, probably is.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was filmed in North Carolina. It wasn't even filmed in Canada.
I stopped to look. I'm like, this motherfucker picked it. And it was, yeah, I seen that. It was filmed in North Carolina. I'm like, oh, okay. So if I like it, it's not that bad. But that's that shit was fucking hilarious with that the Canadian dude at the airport. One of the coolest lines I've ever heard was, we're not nice, we're optimistic. And then he followed it up shortly after, and we're hung like moose. I was like, wow. Like, see, that's why I love Kevin Smith, man. Like, you know, he might not like his horror stuff. It's questionable, but it's going to be funny. He's going to make you laugh.
Well, he did another horror movie before this one called Red State. I don't know if either of you have seen Red State.
I have not.
I have.
It is not funny.
No.
No?
No, it is a straightforward movie. I mean, there might be little jokes here and there at the beginning or something, but it's a straightforward horror movie. I don't think it's as enjoyable as Tusk. I do think it's the first time I looked at Kevin Smith and went, okay, maybe this guy's a better director than I've given him credit for, because he was making a straight horror movie, which was completely out of his wheelhouse, and it looks like it should look for being a horror movie.
See, I'm in a weird spot with it, because I always want to see what someone can do, like straightforward dark. I want a horror movie, like give me the textbook, you know. But then again, it's like Kevin Smith. Like, do you want to lose that aspect of Kevin Smith where he's going to make you laugh? I don't know.
Yeah,
interesting though. Yeah, that I've never got. Again, I heard bad things about that movie too, which is why I haven't watched it yet.
It's okay. It's not a great movie, but it's fine.
I'm gonna watch it sooner than later.
Great performance from Michael Parks in that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's good in this movie, but in that movie, he plays a character that gives him more opportunity to sort of chew the scenery a little bit more, because he plays like a preacher / cult leader. So he just has more opportunity to, you know, go big. in this movie. He's a little more restrained. I mean, he has his moments in this one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that Canada thing, 3 minutes in too, I was like, ah. Yeah. But yeah, again,
red and white, scene. But never blue, Mikey.
Never blue.
It also had one of my favorite lines, which I don't know why I thought this was so funny, but the whole "you can't say Hitler in the airport" just like really fucking got me.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I don't think you're supposed to really say that anywhere, but I mean, airport specifically, so. Not bomb. Yeah, it was also kind of funny how, like, because when later on in the movie, the girlfriend and the friend who are the co-host who are banging too, by the way, they go to Canada. Like, they treat Americans like, you know, like a complete, it's not that fucking different, guys. Like, let's not, like, they act like it's from Germany or Russia or something. It's like, it's not that different. They were treating us like we were complete aliens. I wonder if that's what they think of us over there.
I don't know, but I think I think that's how Kevin Smith thinks Canadians view Americans, you know, and he might know better than I would. I don't know. I bet he's been to Canada more than I have. But yeah, but it's all played for humor. It's very funny.
I want you guys to know, I just asked a friend of mine who is Canadian, and I did watch this movie with, if people from Canada think Americans are like aliens.
Well, my Canadian friend has told me before, she thinks we're all crazy. She thinks we're all gun-toting nuts.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, he's handed them the guns.
What kind of Americans are you?
Yeah, I was like, I'm an American. Yeah, I called that one a mile away. It is really weird. We're so just, like, Americans just want everything to be for, we're all about us. Like, we go to another country, we're shocked they don't speak English, like, who we are. So it's always kind of funny to see how other countries, but it's just like, dude, you're fucking Canada. Like, how dare you? I can see other countries doing it, but I don't think Canada has the right.
Yeah, I don't. When I was in Europe, I told many, many people that they better be nicer, because if it wasn't for my forefathers, they'd be speaking German right now. But that was my, in France, that's how I communicated, was I just spoke English slower and louder.
That's usually what we do. No. Yeah. I had to call somebody the other day and they only spoke Spanish. That's how I handled the situation. I repeated what I said that they did not understand slower, thinking it was somehow.
Yep.
Yeah. Bells I got on this thing. Damn it, I'm talking about more stuff that is funny. Like the old dude, I don't know why this stuck out to me, but like when he's pretending to be paralyzed, and I thought he was, because, you know, I've never seen it before. He had his leg crossed over his other leg.
Yeah.
That is the most pompous thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's such a good shot.
Right, like he's sitting there with his leg crossed, all prestigious. Like, dude, you can't even feel though. You did that. You went out of your way to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to take your hands and lift your one leg up and put it over. Yeah,
right.
But the scene where it's revealed that he's not paralyzed and that he doesn't need the wheelchair is so good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
when they're sitting at that long table and at each end of the long table, and he just stands up and walks down, and it's shot from outside that and you just see it through the window as he's walking across. It's so good.
Yeah. And that whole scene was pretty good. It was, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the different tones they hit, like, dude, that dinner table scene, like, it was pretty dark. Like it was like, I felt a little uncomfortable with how creepy it all was. Cause, you know, obviously Justin Long screaming because he's at this table. He can't move. He just lost his fucking leg for no goddamn reason. This guy's got him incapacitated. And then it cuts to him screaming and making this, like, it was very uneasy.
Yeah,
it was really uneasy. I remember the first time I saw this movie, that was one of the scenes that really struck me, because you hear what the movie's about and you're kind of already laughing going in, and then it's a Kevin Smith movie and you're kind of laughing a lot during the beginning of it. And then there's that table sequence and it is so uncomfortable. And that was where it was like, oh, this is, you know, this is a horror movie, you know, like he's really gonna do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't quite explain why. Cause like, it's not something that should make you uneasy, you know, normally, but just the way he did it. And it cut from the you know, the outside, like looking in through the window, like he just hit the vibes of what he was doing really fucking well.
Really, really.
But it was just a lot of vibes.
And so we've talked about how there were shots that could have been shorter in this.
Yeah.
And we haven't even hit on all of the one that stands out for me, other than the Johnny Depp triple sequence, there is the like the girlfriend talking to the open doorway. There's that one shot, and it, like, it's one of those things, it's kind of a cool ominous shot, but then when you realize that she's talking to the other co-host and she's feeling guilty about the affair, it's like, that's such an over dramatic way to talk about that. I feel like it would have been more realistic if it had been trimmed down a little bit. But I, the one thing that we haven't talked about, because while it does feel like there are single instances of the movie not being trimmed down quite enough, I'm also baffled at how quickly it escalates. Like, again, just having watched this the first time, I didn't know what was happening next, like with the walrus dynamic at any point in the film. And it just, when I saw the man get into a second walrus suit, I was like, what the fuck? You know, because I had barely accepted the walrus transformation at this point, and suddenly there's a second one in play.
And then you go from that to just immediately laughing because they're having that stupid walrus fight.
They're having a walrus fight.
Oh my god! The
stupidest looking thing you've ever seen.
That was awful.
No, I loved it so much. Though,
I did too. I loved that part. It made me. I laughed so hard.
That's one thing that I see a lot of people compare Tusk to the Human Centipede, which I don't think is fair. I just want to say, no. I think that Tusk is a much better constructed movie than the Human Centipede. But to entertain that line of thing, because that's the thing with the Human Centipede, is that, like, if the police had never intervened, right, like, the madman just would have had a human centipede, and then what the fuck? You know, like, he would have kept it until it died. Where this one is, like, where Kevin Smith sits down and he's like, a man that's crazy enough to turn another man surgically into a walrus is probably also crazy enough to get into a walrus suit and fight him. Yeah. It's like, all right, I see where you're going. And then, like, immediately, and he has, like, this whole code of honor, you know, where he's honoring Mr. Tusk, his friend the walrus, and giving him, like, one chance to redeem himself every year or whatever, and he goes through this whole thing, and then the second he starts to lose, he's like, fuck this, I'm not a walrus. Hands up. And it's like, just I love the twists of this where you're just like, this is a madman that I'm watching.
Yeah, but you know, that annoyed me too, because I wanted to see more walrus fighting.
I did.
It was just shoulder bumps. Like, it was literally all the fuck. I don't know even know how he was losing. Like, they were both doing the same thing.
It's so funny.
That was absolutely ridiculous. But I mean, he's chilling in that pool thing with Mr. Walrus now, and he doesn't attack him. Like, granted, I'm sure he can't do it. He probably wouldn't have done a great job trying to. If somebody turned me into a fucking walrus, I'm gonna try my damnedest to kill you at every chance I get. And he's just laying there next to him. So that kind of took me out of it. And he's in the pool with him swimming. Like, how do you not try and kill him? Was my thing. Did not like that at all.
I can see what you're saying, but I guess I didn't really think about it when I was watching. It didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me either. Cause I think he's still probably in a state of shock, right? Like, he's still coming to terms with the fact that he is a walrus.
But I would still, like, there's no way I would, like, he has to die. Like, he did this to me. Like, this is never, like, there's no coming back. Even if best case scenario, which I don't know, we'll talk about the end. But, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, I'd rather be dead. Like, I that just kind of, and then he comes out of the pool and he was naked in there. Like, what? I was like, why? Why did you get naked? And, like, he pushed his head down and it was by his peach under the water. Like, you come to find that out after. Like, it was just really, it got even weirder somehow. He's trying to teach this fucking walrus he created out of Justin Long to swim like he's a 4-year-old to pool. And like now he's naked. Didn't need to see old man ass in this movie. Like it just kept getting worse, kept getting weirder, which is in a way impressive, I guess. Sort of, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would be impressed by how weird this movie gets.
Like it always had you going, what the fuck? And like, it's just like, once you see a human walrus, you would think that's it. We're not going anywhere else from here.
You think that's going to be the end of it.
Right.
And you'd be wrong. You'd be terribly, terribly wrong.
Like, it just immediately cuts to an old man ass. And even after seeing a human walrus several times, I'm like, ah. Like, God damn, Kevin Smith. Another scene that pissed me off, like, he left his cell phone in the room with him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one scene that really got me from, like, a suspension of disbelief level. And it wasn't even that the man left the phone, because the man's fucking crazy. I'm not ever going to try to figure out what's going on in Howard Howe's head, right? Like, lost fucking cause. But if I were left alone in a wheelchair in a room with a guy that told me I got bit by a spider, but I don't believe it, and I've been, you know, sitting there for however long, I'm not gonna wait for my phone to ring. I'm gonna see what else is in the room, you know?
Yeah. How do you, like, not find it? Yeah, absolutely.
Because he found it really easy once it started going off, and it's like, okay, that irritated me.
Find a way out, something. You know, a weapon.
Yeah, the phone thing was a little, that was a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's kind of the one thing that.
But he had to have something to get the friend and the girlfriend to Canada.
They could have did something, man. They don't hear from him. They track it.
I just wish he had been looking when he found it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, anyone who's smart enough to surgically turn someone into a fucking walrus should be smart enough to take a cell phone, their only means of communication, out of the room. And I was just like, really? It's right there. And yeah, it's true. Like, I didn't even think of that. Like, he's just sitting around accepting fate. Like, dude, find something. And yeah, he would have eventually found. Yeah, that just took me out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I completely understand. Like, it's so weird how quickly the suspension, the levels of disbelief change, because it's like, I fully believe if someone surgically turned me into a walrus, I'd be ready to give up, right? Like, I'm in shock at that point, whatever. I don't want to fight the guy. I just want to be dead. But then, like, but if someone took my leg and left me alone in a room, I would try to figure out how to get revenge on the guy that took my leg, you know? Like, there's a point where you're not too far gone yet. And I just feel like that point shouldn't be, like, he's ready to give up immediately, you know?
Yeah.
This movie was a fucking roller coaster, man. Like, good God. I mean, and I guess another, the probably the biggest part of the movie, the effects of it. I mean, it looked creepy. It made you feel uneasy. It looked, from an aesthetics view, like, it looked great.
It looked so good. And one thing that I love about this, kind of to draw that human centipede comparison, is that we saw in, like, full detail. You know, it was like they literally drew a chart. They're like, here's what we're up to medically for that one. This one, there's that kind of creature effect where we get to see plenty of Justin Long in the walrus suit, but it's shot in a way and it's designed in a way where we don't really know how much is Justin Long and how much is suit, you know, which I think is really clever.
Yeah. Although I will say, you know, the human centipede, that it was 100% medically accurate.
100% medically accurate.
Zero possible way.
I would never doubt Tom Six's medical licensure going on over there.
Yeah. I mean, that was another thing I was, well, Rob probably looked up the budget. How much they have, Rob? Let me step on it now.
They had a $3 million budget.
Okay. Yeah. They had some money.
Most of that budget went to one place, though, and I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. They had some money. I mean, money goes quick making movies like this, but I mean, we've seen movies where they've had a little bit of money behind them and it's like heavy effects and they still don't get the effects right. Like they did in this, like they spent the money where like that dude, you're making a movie about some dude turning into a fucking being turned into a walrus. Like it better, that better be the focus. And it was, and it was. As stupid as it sounds, it's not always.
No, I mean, it looks good. Like I don't really know what a human made a human put into a walrus suit made out of like other humans really looks like, but I'm guessing it probably looks a lot like what was on my screen.
I also never want to find out. Yeah, I will say, if this is the closest I ever see to a real approximation of that, that's fine. But it was interesting because you're like you're looking at the suit and you're like, oh shit, it's a walrus. And then you're looking closer and it's like, is that an ear? Like,
yeah.
Is that a face? Is that a nose hole? Like, why is there a nostril in the side of this? You know, and then you realize like it's sewn together from other people, but it's good. It looks good.
It does. Yeah. And it was like a stretched out face on it. Yeah, man. It was.
And those fingers for the flippers. Yeah. Where you can see like the tendons and it's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. What else did I? Oh, okay. Well, the end of it.
So I had a friend that was, this was a couple months ago now. It was not long after I recorded the other Tusk episode that I did. And I had a friend who was having a really bad day and she's like, "Will you recommend a horror movie to me? I just need to get my mind off of this." And I was like, "Watch Tusk." And she's like, "Okay." And so she was live messaging me during the whole thing where she's like, "Kat, what am I watching? Kat, what have you done? Kat, like, what the fuck?" And then at the end, and then for like 20 minutes at the end, it just was like dead silent. And then she was like, "Tell me they did not leave him in a fucking animal sanctuary." And she had, like, sent me the scream cap where it just, like, set, because you know before they get out of the, you know, they're, like, in the parking lot still and there's the, like, exotic animal sign. And she just, like, scream capped it and sent it to me and was like, "Tell me they did not." And it's like,
they sure fucking did.
I will say this, though. I think that a better ending for this movie is have him in the animal sanctuary, but also show us people making fun of video clips of him on the internet.
That's the full circle story of Tusk. Do you think they chickened out?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because
it seems like that was the direction they were going, and then we didn't get it at the end.
Yeah, that makes it I think that's a better ending than what we get. I think what we get is fine, but to bring the whole thing full circle, I think if you have people laughing at him, of video clips of him on the internet, that makes it just that much better.
Yeah.
Because Justin Long's character, I mean, while we feel bad for him and he is the protagonist of this story in a lot of ways, he's a real shithead. He's a hard character to root for.
And that they hint at it too, because he loses the leg first, even though he's like going to make fun of the kid that lost his leg, you know,
right.
And we have that shot of him in the wheelchair that mirrors the memorial of the empty chair where the kid has committed suicide. And it's like, we have those like images where it's like, here's the repercussions of like his terrible actions. And here's how it feels for him to be made fun of. But then we didn't hit it at the end. And that does, I feel the same way. I also wish we could have gotten confirmation that the podcast was still going. Like,
no, oh, yeah.
You know, because that would have been a big thing. The friend coming up to interview him, you know,
right,
or get footage of him or whatever for the, it would have been good.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That would have been really good. Yeah. And see, time could have been filled with stuff like that. That would have made sense. And, you know, like rookie mistakes, maybe, could be chalked up to.
The set design though, for the animal sanctuary was great. The big gulps in the
yeah.
enclosure really got me.
Dude, like, they really brought this motherfucker to some petting zoo. Like, and they didn't even give him a cool, like, sanctuary. Like, he just had, like, the smallest little fenced-in area with a shitty little pool in it.
They didn't even bring him home to the States. They just fucking left him in Canada.
That's the fucking human. Like, this guy, like, sure, he was a piece of shit. 100% agreed. But at that time in life, give at least, yeah, ship him back to the States. Left him in fucking Canada. Like, I don't know how you would ship a human walrus, but yeah, that, and you couldn't have given him a better spot than, like, this guy's fucking poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the whole problem, is the human walrus getting through customs is going to be an issue.
Yeah, Canada. Yeah, they have their, that seems like a Canada thing to do too. If they got a human walrus, they would, like, put it on a pedestal and not want, like, they don't want to let it go. Fucking Canada would be weird bastards. Yeah, so this poor guy's been through all this. You couldn't give him a damn good little cage, man, or whatever. Like, come on. That piece of shit. My backyard would have been better. Come on, chill out a little bit.
I feel like the enclosure that he was in at Howell's place was nicer.
It was. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, it was. At least looked like the back cave or something. Like, what the hell? Fucking cheap bastards. Canadians, man. You can't do nothing with them. That's all I really have. Oh, also, by the way, Kevin Smith might have won the best award for best friend ever. Jason Mewes is listed as an associate producer on this movie. Like what? he just got his friend a payday for no reason. Like, he is a homie, man.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that, but that's funny.
I seen that thing. I'm like, what the fuck? He did not have, like, that's just a paycheck. That's what the associate producer, no, paycheck receiver. Is what Jason Mewes did for this. It had to be. And I love Jason Mewes. But that's all I have. I don't know if you guys have anything else.
No, I think I'm pretty much out.
Yeah, that's everything. Man, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's one I forget about.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this movie is because I've heard within the last year or so, a couple of different shows talk about it, and in particular, talk about how disturbing it is, and it really is disturbing. But I feel like when I watch the movie, I don't find it super disturbing. And I think it's because all of the disturbing stuff is broken up with stuff that's so funny that it, like, lightens the mood for me almost. Because I don't, like, even watching it, I watched it earlier today, and even watching it today, I didn't find it super disturbing. But when I sit down and think about it, it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching it, I'm just kind of having a good time because it's fucking, I mean, the movie is, it's Kevin Smith. It's genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like that lightens the mood along the way. And again, that sort of points to the tone thing, I guess, that I was talking about earlier, which is, you know, I guess a double-edged sword or something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So you want to get into reviews and stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So this did not do real well on Rotten Tomatoes. I'll just come out and say that this has a 46% tomato meter.
Damn.
And
that's a little higher than I thought it would be, honestly.
36% audience score. it fared better on IMDb though. It's got a 5.3 out of 10. And I have two reviews pulled up for you guys. I'll let you guess star ratings if you want out of 10, but I went for slightly more ambiguous instead of picking one from either extreme, like I usually try to do. I just chose the funniest ones here that I think are most indicative of the Tusk experience. Our first review comes from Damian Phelps of IMDb. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about this. It's weird, unique, clever, odd, funny, intriguing, stupid, wacky, surprising, disturbing, sinister, gross, rubbery, and of course, walrusy.
Rubbery.
It did entertain. It may be a piece of genius, but I'm not sure, lol. Check it out for yourself, but you will need to be open-minded. Smiley face.
Okay. Oh, smiley face. That's nice.
Smiley face, yeah.
Yeah. I think out of 10, that guy's at like a 6, it feels like.
Yeah. It's a 5.5, maybe. That neighborhood.
Yeah,
he's not wrong either.
Yeah, that is a perfect 6 out of 10 for You guys did good.
Okay.
Here's our second one from Abel70721. Watched once 3 years ago, ... still thinking about it, ! point. Still in all caps. I watched when it first came out on DVD. Haven't watched since. Bought the DVD. Still in shrink wrap. This isn't to say I don't like the movie, but when I don't know, but I don't know when I'm going to feel ready to, quote, attack that beast again. It really opens up the important question, what would you do if your partner were turned into a walrus?
Yeah.
This one's kind of all over the place because I feel like they haven't seen it since it was new, yet they're still thinking about it. So it feels like maybe they were a little traumatized by it.
Yeah.
But then they bought it. And I don't feel like if you hated something, you wouldn't buy it, right?
But they didn't take it out of the shrink wrap.
Yeah, also. But still, you bought it. I feel like my gut reaction was a 3. So I'm going to go with a 3.
I was thinking 4.
Okay. This is actually the higher of the two reviews at a 7 out of 10.
All right. That one was a tough one to place because, like I said, it could
bounces.
Have, I mean, yeah, it could have gone either way based on what they had to say about the film.
And then honorable mention, just for the title alone, 1 out of 10, Walrus, no, with 5 exclamation points.
Yeah, that, I like that one, too.
<All right.
laughs> It's so fucking creepy, man.
All right, are we ready for facts?
I'm ready for some facts.
All right, here we go. Here's some Tusk facts. Not a ton, but there are some. Mentioned before, it had an estimated $3 million budget. Its worldwide gross was $1.8 million.
Wow.
Didn't do well at the box office. I'm going to guess that it made money still, though, in like home video sales. I mean, we got this person who bought it who didn't open it, but they bought it, you know, and rentals and that sort of thing. Do you guys know where this movie came from?
No.
No.
All right. It's interesting. The idea for the film came during the recording of Kevin Smith's podcast, Smodcast. It was episode 259, The Walrus and the Carpenter is the name of the episode. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Smodcast. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but it was a show where Kevin Smith and his friend Scott Mosier, who they've been friends for a long time, I think since like college, maybe even high school, I don't remember. And Scott Mosier is a producer and has been a producer, I believe, on all of Kevin Smith's movies. But they didn't want to lose touch with one another. You know, as life gets busy and you got, you know, wives and kids and shit. And so they started doing a podcast together because that would force them to get together and sit down and have a conversation at least once a week.
Okay.
So they did that and they talked about all sorts of different stuff on the podcast. I'm saying it past tense. It might still be going. I don't know. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but, and they would take a lot of headlines and just weird stuff they found online or whatever. And they would talk about it. Well, on this particular episode, they were talking about an ad that, or an article that featured I don't know what a gum tree ad is, but that's what it says. It featured a gum tree ad where a homeowner was offering a living situation free of charge if the lodger agreed to dress as a walrus. The discussion went on from there, and they went on for about an hour of the episode talking about this story and reconstructing and telling a hypothetical story based on the ad. And if you listened, I don't know if you guys stuck through the credits, but at the end of the credits, once the song that's playing ends, they play the audio, or at least some of the audio from the podcast where they're talking about it. And then there's also a post-credit scene with Johnny Depp. It's real short and not worth wasting your time on, but the audio from the podcast is actually pretty funny. But anyway, so they did this hypothetical story based on this ad, and then Kevin Smith told his Twitter followers to tweet walrus yes or hashtag walrus yes if they wanted to see this turned into a movie, or hashtag walrus no if they didn't. And so, of course, the majority obviously agreed that yes, they wanted to see the movie. Now it turns out the post or the ad was actually a prank from a guy, a poet named Chris Parkinson, And he heard of the planned film and was a big fan of Kevin Smith's, and contacted Kevin Smith to say he'd love to be involved. Smith eventually hired him to be an associate producer on the film.
Oh, Lord.
So that's where the idea for the movie came from. The movie was shot in 15 days. They offered the role of Guy LaPointe to Quentin Tarantino first. Tarantino turned it down. He said he liked the script. He just wasn't he wasn't interested in taking on any acting roles at the time, but he couldn't wait to see Michael Parks in the movie.
Okay.
Mentioned this. It's the first movie in Kevin Smith's True North trilogy. The second one is 2016's Yoga Hosers. And the final movie in this trilogy is the yet-to-be-completed Moose Jaws, which Kevin Smith has described as Jaws with a moose.
Yeah, I seen that listed when I was looking up Kevin Smith. Not looking forward to that.
Oh, I can't wait for that. One's going to be great.
It can't be worse than Yoga Hosers.
Oh, Yoga Hosers is bad. Yeah.
If Mikey does anything to piss me off in between now and my birthday, that'll be my nuclear option. I think it's Yoga Hosers.
Yeah, all right. We'll all suffer for that.
I hope I like it.
In his tribute to Michael Parks, Kevin Smith mentioned that the fake voice that Parks uses while speaking with Guy LaPointe was entirely Parks' idea. Apparently in the script, it was called for Parks to use a French-Canadian accent, but he didn't want to use that accent because he'd already done it on Twin Peaks. So he just sort of made up his own. According to Smith, it was like watching two wizards do battle and you can't figure out who the bad guy is. And I guess Parks was ecstatic over being allowed to chew the scenery with a major movie star who was also chewing scenery as the two of them go back and forth. And that was a fun scene. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
I mentioned that the majority of the budget was spent on one thing. According to Kevin Smith, most of the budget was used to obtain the rights to the song Tusk by Fleetwood Mac.
Damn.
And the last thing here, Smith has also mentioned an idea for a sequel where somehow Justin Long's Wallace would turn himself back into a human and become the new villain. In 2022, Long revealed that he had actually been contacted by Smith about working on this potential sequel.
See, that I had also heard of.
We might get a Tusk 2. I believe the title that Kevin Smith was kicking around was Tusks.
Tusks.
But the S is a dollar sign.
What?
Yeah, the last what? S. So Tusks, but then the final S is a dollar sign.
The answer is Tusk with the two walrus teeth thing as the two. That's the answer, right?
I don't know.
God, apparently it's a dollar sign.
It's a dollar sign because it's a cash grab, I think.
Oh God. Is it about the same? It's gotta be about the same dude. Yeah. The other dude died. So, oh God, no, I don't want to see the story of this fucking guy now.
I kind of do.
Drinking big gulps in a fucking, the worst enclosure of all time.
Well, no, he's going to get out of there because he's going to figure out how to turn himself back into a human.
He's going to break out. I'd like, no. Is that it for facts, Rob?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's get into Portnoy's. This should be interesting. Are we doing B-movie for this?
No,
I don't think so.
Right? Yeah, I don't think
this got a theatrical release.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like that disqualifies it from being a B-movie.
I want you to remember that when we do the Meg 2.
Oh, God.
The Meg 2, oh boy.
All right. Anybody want to go first?
It's so stupid, it almost becomes awesome.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near. I really don't like that. Pick a lane. If you're going to do something ridiculous, do something ridiculous. If you're not, you're not. Stop. That was ridiculous.
No, Kat, I'm curious. You said you and Mr. Kat's boyfriend guy went looking for a physical copy. Did he watch this with you?
No.
Oh.
I have a feeling, because he's been afraid to watch Tusk since the first time I brought it up. I have a feeling he maybe paid people at the stores we were going to hide copies of Tusk.
Oh.
Like, that's my going conspiracy theory as to why I had to rent this today.
All right. Well, that's unfortunate. I would have been curious to see what he thought.
I know, I keep telling him it's a comedy, and he's like, I don't want to see a man get turned into a walrus. It's like, but it's funny.
He needs to watch every movie. We need a segment on his impressions of these films.
All right, Cat, we're going to send him over the contract.
All right.
Sign Mr. Cat's boyfriend guy. All right. This is going to be a weird one. I don't know what the fuck to give this thing.
I have a number written down, but I don't feel real confident.
All right. I'm going to have to give this movie like a 4.6.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and honestly, like it's obviously not a movie I'm going to turn on and watch. You know, it's just not. But it was honestly the like I said earlier, like the fact that it had those four or so scenes that kind of just took way too long. Like I'm already sitting here waiting to not like you as a movie, you know, and you do that, and it's just like fuck, here it is. And you like, I don't know, it really threw this equilibrium off for me quite a bit. But you know what? It was entertaining. It looked great. And you know, a 4.7 final. Boom. That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Kat, you want to go or you want me to?
I'll go. Because I feel like you're going to be the biggest wild card here. I wrote down 7.9.
God damn. Cool. Wow. Okay. Rob, where are you at with it?
I am not quite at a 7.9. I like Tusk a lot. I think it's a very good movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a lot of fun. It does have tonal issues. Yeah. I do wish the ending had come full circle. I feel like Kat said, I feel like they went, you know, three quarters of the way there, but didn't quite make it across the finish line. And I know you're supposed to review and critique the movie that is in front of you, not the movie you wish you had gotten. But I just, there's something that would have been so perfect about that it irritates me that it didn't get done.
Yeah.
But I do like it. I had a lot of fun with it. I gave it a 6.8.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. I just don't, it's so fucking hard of a movie to, cause I think about giving it higher. And then I think about giving it lower again. And I'm like, like it gave Clerk vibes too. Like with the girls in the fucking convenience store. It just looked like a Kevin, even the very beginning when they're talking on the podcast in their studio, it just looked like a Kevin Smith movie somehow.
Yeah.
And you know, I like that, but you know, it didn't have enough to really win me over.
The convenience store clerks, by the way, were played by Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter.
I'll be damned. Look at that. Yeah.
That's why they got their own sequel.
Yeah.
Sure wish they had not.
Yeah, that is an unfortunate movie.
Damn. All right, well, that's
But Moose Tusk. Jaws, I'm looking forward to.
That's just, on its face, is incredible.
God. All right, on that note, go follow us at /radio on Twitter. Make sure you're following the show there. You're following, reviewing the show if you're listening to it, wherever you're listening to it. Please review it, all that stuff. We don't really have anything. Yeah, I don't think we really have anything coming up. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't like that.
Well, what are we doing next week? Is that the Patreon pick?
Oh, shit, it is. Maybe that's what I was forgetting. Yeah, Patreon pick next week then. Who the fuck knows what?
The Patreon pick.
Oh, that's fair. Who knows?
Yeah, especially now that Mikey made Chris mad.
Yeah, I did make Chris a little mad.
Why did you make Chris mad?
You can also check out Cult FM. That's the other show I do with Allie. Where's my button?
Clown penis.
We had on Damian Maffei to talk Texas Chainsaw. Obviously, the voice Johnny in the game. Very funny playing as Johnny and hearing his voice too, by the way. So we had him on. Damian was not very nice to me. And we played during that episode a round of versus wheel that we called it, where we spin the wheel and there's random horror characters on there. And, you know, we just pick which one we like better. That wheel is a motherfucker. Still in to this day. Like, it's just, I hate that wheel. I got Art the Clown versus Jason Voorhees. Chris is not happy. And Rob, you're a snitch.
Yeah, Rob fucking time stamped it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I might have mentioned it.
You definitely mentioned it. You riled him up. You told that man pretty much, stop what you're doing right now and listen to this. Here's the everything. You made it nice and easy for him to find. What the hell, man?
I just thought he'd find it interesting.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. Yeah, so you can find that at Cult FM, wherever you listen to this. Cult FM Pod on Twitter. Yeah, I got in a lot of shit. The all around that episode. Damien was mean to me about aliens. It was a mess. And I'm at Mikey's Dead. Rob, where they finding you?
Twitter, X, whatever the hell, at yeah. Radio Rob 123. You can also listen to the Nick fucking Boo Cage Cast. The other show that I do with Kat, we will have just released our episode on Time to Kill, which is maybe one of the shortest podcast episodes anyone's ever done.
Ever.
Holy shit.
We did a speed run for the Nick Evan Cage Cast.
We might hit a whopping 20 minutes for that show. I'm not sure yet. I haven't done the editing. It'll be done soon. But yeah, you can check us out wherever you're listening to Slasher Radio. It's Nick Effin Woo if you're looking for it, because they won't let you say fuck in the title of your show.
Did they really like give you an error? Did you try and do it?
No, I didn't try to do it. I just don't think they'll allow it. I've never seen anyone do it.
They'll probably get taken down eventually. That's fair. Yeah. You avoided future use. Happy with that decision. Kat, where do they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kat_Valeur, V-O-L-E-U-R. You can find me on Blue Sky and Instagram and all the other things at Kat Valeur. Check out my website, katvaleur.com. Order my book, Revenge Arc. It is available and printed now. So,
right now. Oh, yeah. Also, patreon.com/radio. Tier starting as low as $2 a month. You get to pick our. It's a group effort of the patrons, nothing to do with us, with picking one movie a month. That is sometimes a regret. But either way, check us out next week, guys. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best of Slasher Radio Podcast. Thank you.